using your keys.
Blog Talk
Broadcast.
Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Empowerment Place Using Your Keys Broadcast. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, grateful and thankful for another opportunity to come and share about love. We've been talking about love all month long, and we continue with love on tonight. We have talked about understanding what love is. We've talked to singles getting their perspective. We've talked to those who have been divorced and whether they're willing to try love again. And tonight we're talking to married couples. And we want to talk about what it takes to make marriage work. What it takes to make marriage work. Elder Lisa.
Good evening. This is Elder
Lisa.
Not my night. I'm here. This is not my night, though.
No, it's not your night. But I want to thank you because while you're on the line with us, you know, if there's some questions that you want to pose, I want you to do that. I know that we're waiting for one other couple to join us, but we're excited to have Mr. and Mrs. Timothy and Melissa Wright with us this evening. You all want to say hello?
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm also grateful to have my husband on the line with us tonight. Honey, you want to tell everybody hello?
Hello, how you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So our topic this week is really what makes marriage work. And Melissa and Tim, we'll start with you all. Just sort of give us a backdrop of how marriage came to be for the two of you. Just with that, and then we'll start with the dialogue about some of the things that we may have faced or we do face in maintaining this love relationship, making sure that God is glorified and that we are satisfied in it. Okay?
Well, first of all, you need God. That's the number one priority right there. As long as you got God, everything else will work out. Second of all, you got to find a mate that's suitable and compatible to you. I mean, so many people get married, and so many people we meet, we don't find out everything about that person within the first couple of months, within the first year. So it takes a lot of time, dedication, and effort to put into knowing a person. A lot of us feel that, well, okay, she looks good, she's pretty, you know, okay, let's just go from there, but you can't really just decide right there. And a lot of relationships that I know of and friends that have been in relationships, they're not in it for that long period of time. So I think it's really the time that you put in with getting to know a person is one of the main things for me.
Okay, and I think that that's a great leeway to how we came to be married. Tim and I, we met back in 2008. And, of course, things did transpire where we were building a relationship. But at that time, you know, things didn't work out right. And, of course, we ask questions now, years down the road, why didn't it work out? Well, if I wasn't right for him then, you know, or wasn't in a position to really be able to appreciate a man like him, and even vice versa, then things shouldn't have worked out. So I thank God that years down the road, after we both been through some hardships, after we both had, you know, separated from each other, that, you know, the Lord brought us back together, and we married just, 3 months? 3 months ago. So it was definitely all in God's plan, and I definitely agree with Tim when you say you really have to know a person. And I just think that takes, you know, to have some type of longevity that you can build upon. You know, because a lot of people have nothing to build upon. So I'm glad that we had something to build upon, which made us get to this point today.
Awesome. So, honey.
Yes.
Honey.
Yes.
Share with the listening audience a little bit about how we came to be married. Because we're newlyweds, y'all.
Well, you know it started about 34 years ago.
Amen.
Just being in college and really, you know, I just felt in my heart that's the right one. But then, you know, things didn't turn out that way. But what I look for, I think Tim said it, is, you know, as you get older, you learn a little bit, you get wiser. When you think about God, is, you know, having God, putting God first and knowing that that's your guide,
mm-hmm.
that's your compass. If you don't have that, then I don't think anything will work, because you have to have God, and God's got to be there, and it's got to be both people, and that's the whole thing. You know, one person can be that, say, okay, you know, I have God, and God's my compass, and guide me in the right direction. But if the other person doesn't truly have that, then you're just asking for trouble. And I think that being honest, Valerie and I didn't see each other for a long time. You know, you're talking, you know, maybe once in 34 years that I saw her. But when we did have the opportunity to talk, she was honest with me, and, you know, and I tried to do the same. And that's how, I guess, we came together so quick after all these years.
Yeah. A lot of people who have watched us are like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Nobody's really posed the question to us, though, like, how that happened so quickly. Maybe a couple people. But for the most part, for people who know me, who know my character and sort of know my flow with the things of God, and especially with relationships, didn't question, didn't perceive that there were any motives. But like you said, hon, you know, when you are aspiring to be in the relationship according to God's plan for your life, you realize that you don't have time to waste. You know, we talked this morning in Live at 5, the scripture out of Ecclesiastes about, you know, you wait for the perfect time for things to happen, and while you're waiting for that perfect time, you realize that nothing's getting done. And so for us, babe, I think we realized that 34 years had been long enough, so there was no need to prolong what we both felt in our heart was God's plan for our happily ever after. Amen?
I agree.
Awesome. So all four of us that are on the line, we have all been in marriages prior to this one. What do you feel, beyond the fact that we all understand that there is a necessary component for God to be the head in the relationship, do you feel that there were some very teachable moments in the past relationships that are things that sort of stick out that make you mindful as you interact with your spouse now? Melissa?
Most definitely. I mean, of course, any time that something failed, and really that's what it was, when something fails, you try to build from that and even do lessons learned. What could I have done different? And for most women, you know, we are very humble when it comes to that. You know, we want to know what could I have done different. And if things were never meant to be, you can't force something that doesn't fit. Even though we try over and over to make what we think is the right move work for us, but when in all actuality, if it wasn't God's plan, it shouldn't work anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell when things are of God that it doesn't take, or it takes little effort to make them work. They just do. And I think, too, one thing just to expound on is, you know, when you used to hear that myth that people say, I'm my better half, or two halves make a whole. No, you must come to the other person a whole person. yeah, means that you yeah. have to deal with everything that concerns you, all of these, you know, most women, we carry the baggage from relationships. We have to deal with that because we'll never be mm-hmm. able to be whole to our spouse if we don't deal with that. So, you know, I'm definitely totally against that. He's a half a person, I'm a half a person, together we're a whole person. No, he's a whole person, and I'm a whole person, and together we make one.
Yeah, that's the only time when the math equation becomes 1 plus 1 equals 1.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about you, Tim? Are there things that you gleaned from past relationships that are teaching moments or things that are aiding you in this marriage so that you know that this marriage will work?
Well, me personally, yeah. I've also looked upon, you know, past relationships, and I really think about my aunt and uncle in Brooklyn. I got an auntie and uncle in Brooklyn getting ready to be married 50 years. And I always, when I was young, I always used to see my uncle, and I was like, he's always happy, auntie's always happy. And I used to ask him, you know, when I was, you know, years younger, I used to be like, Unc, what's up with that? You know, how do you do it? And he always refers to me with LTD. And I used to think, you know, okay, you're talking about that group, old school group. And he was like, yeah, it is. In a way, because he listens to all that old school music, which is real soul
right.
music. In reality, I was like saying, well, what does that really mean? And to me, you know, I took his words to heart when he really explained it to me. And he was like, love, trust, and dedication. And
mm-hmm.
when, you know, he explained that to me, I was like, wow, you know. And then looking at it when my earlier years, I really never paid attention until now, because it makes sense. You know, you got to have love, you got to have trust, and all that together. You got to have the dedication to deal with it all. And so, like I say, myself, I'm living on from what he said to me, because it makes sense. And every time I listen to one of those LTD albums, it really makes you feel like, wow, you know, this is what it's all about. I mean, we can sit here and we can go back and forth and say, well, my past this, my past that, but you really can't hold on to your past because you never get to see what's in your future.
Amen.
So, you know, that's the way I feel about that.
And that's good. And you know, I think, Tim, that our past becomes teachable, but you're right. If we hold on to our past, we do. We hinder ourselves from receiving what it is that God has in store for us, because we're too busy looking back. And I want to glance back just to see, okay, I erred there. I don't want to make that mistake again. But I ain't going to hold on to it, because I'm not going to let anything hold me in bondage and keep me from a prize that God has waiting for me. I'm not gonna. I've been that knucklehead before. I'm not gonna keep doing that. Honey, have you learned anything from your past? Have you learned anything from your past that are helping you in your relationship now?
Well, you know, certainly it's just you know, not looking at the past and seeing everybody to be the same way. You know, trust is one of the things, you know, that I always, you know, harped on a lot, is, you know, being able to trust. Now, you trust people and then they let you down, but you can't just sit back and worry about that. You just got to move on. But I think that just my thing is having God in my life and really trusting God is going to guide me in the right direction. And so having more faith in the Lord is what I believe. But the other person needs to have faith in the Lord as well. So, and I think that's the thing that makes it work for us.
Yeah, it works for us. It works for us. If you had to, Benny, name besides God, because we know that God is foremost in marriage. if there had to be one other component beyond God, what would that one component be?
I thought I mentioned that. It's, having trust, believe.
Trust.
And if I don't trust
okay.
myself, how am I going to trust someone else? So
yeah.
it's got to be, but that's the number one thing for me is being able to trust and have faith in someone that they are going to be doing the right thing.
Tim, you told us it was LTD for you. Melissa, what would be that one thing beyond God? What's the one thing that's a necessary component you think that helps marriage work?
Of course, it's hard to just list one thing, but something that's important to me, just to keep it personal, definitely is communication. I think sometimes that so much is said, and when you really, really love someone, you pay attention to those things spoken and those things that are not spoken. So, because we can communicate all kind of ways. So I definitely think it's important, especially most women, we want to know that if I'm saying nothing, does he realize that me saying nothing means something?
Right.
So to me, communication is definitely very important because it tells you how much they're really paying attention to you.
I would have to agree with that because Valerie and I always talk about, she says words have power. And I said, no, actions have power. But now we've learned that those words and action together have power.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, words have power, but actions have power as well. So if you're not if you're not showing the actions that someone is looking for, then that has a lot of power too.
That's right. That's why we say love is an action word. You can say I love you, but you can mean it more by showing how much you love.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But they have to. There's a. They both have to coexist.
Mm-hmm. You know.
I agree. They have to coexist, and I think that they're meant to coexist. The same way in marriage. Man is, the word says it's not good for man to be alone. So, it was God's intent. That's why Adam was in the garden and he was like, God, everybody got somebody to play with and I don't want to play with the animals. Like, God, really? Y'all know I'm paraphrasing. If you're listening to all this, I'm paraphrasing. But God put Adam to sleep. And from his rib, he formed Eve. And the word says, you are now flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. And, I was looking at some vows on this morning when I woke up early. And it's amazing to me how easily people will recite these vows behind the clergy about promising to love and to cherish, forsaking all others until death do we part. So very easily. But at the same time, spitting these words out, knowing that they have a motive for this union. And it's at those times, I believe, that people run into the most problems. It's not going to work for you because you didn't enter into it. The word tells us too, marriage is not to be entered into lightly. But you're supposed to have you've got to have some counsel, and you've got to know that what you're about to walk into. Tim, you stated it from the beginning that you've got to know who you're about to yoke up with. And know that you're compatible. And it's true. A lot of times people will show you what they want you to see to bait you in. And once they get you in and they feel like they got you lock, stock, and barrel, then the truth of who they really are comes to light. But by then, you've already said, I do. by then you've already said, I do. And so it's so important. It's so important that in making marriage work, we have to have a level of discernment that mm-hmm. even when you don't say it, even when I don't see it, God will allow me to see what I need to see and hear what I need to hear. I think also mm-hmm. with marriage, you know, let me ask the guys, because both of you are married to ministers. Is that a challenge in making marriage work? Because in marriage, the man is the head. You're the king, we're your queen. Do you find that there are any challenges being married to a minister? Tim?
No, I mean, I don't find any challenges because long as you got your love for God, then you know that's what, you know, the marriage is based upon. And if you're in it with someone who ministers to the Lord, then it's really not hard. Now, what I would say would be hard is someone who's not into being, you know, or interested in what you're interested in. Like, if I was into being in the streets and Melissa being a minister, I don't think that that would work because the simple fact that she's doing one thing and I'm trying to do another thing. So it's not going to work. We're going to bump heads, I would think. And just being, you know, not ready at the time also has a play in it. I mean, because, yeah, if you love her, yeah, you can say, well, okay, I'll do this because of love. But you can't just do it because of love. You have to do it because you want to do it.
Right.
And can I answer real quick, then? I'm glad you brought that up because the notes that I had made here on my paper, too. And people think that, you know, automatically just means when you're talking about a saved and unsaved person. But, you know, the Bible also speaks of in Amos 3:3, when it asks us that question, can two walk together unless they agree?
Unless they agree.
Except they agree. So you got to believe the same things. You got to want the same things. You got to have the same vision for marriage. People fail at marriage because they go into marriage with an open door syndrome. If I can go into it the same way I came into it freely, I can easily walk out of it. But it should never be going in with, okay, I know there's a way out if this doesn't work. You know, because that's not
right.
of God. Because number one, if you had been with God in the first place and you had listened to God and moved upon the act of God speaking in your life and making that commitment, it should never be a thought of, okay, if it doesn't work, then I know my way out.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't have to rely on the adage, it's cheaper to keep her.
That's right.
Benny, what are your thoughts?
Is it a challenge
having a wife that's a minister or no?
Not if you're walking the same walk as Tim said. If you're doing one thing and somebody else is doing something else, then no, that's not going to work. I would say that no, it hasn't been a challenge. It hasn't been a challenge.
So was it a plus for you that I was in ministry? Did that help with the decision that maybe I want to? She is the one that's going to work.
Yeah,
did it,
I know that. I knew that because that's what I prayed for. That's what I prayed
Amen.
For. Someone that really wants to be serving what God's purpose is for us to serve, and for me to be able to do the same thing. That was an answer to my prayer. So, yes, but you can't. You cannot have one person going this way. That shows that they're
mm-hmm.
incompatible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we talked about communication. This is good. We talked about communication. Mel, it looks like you took some notes, and I'm grateful. When it talks about communication and, you know, we're not supposed to go to bed angry at each other. We're supposed to resolve our issues.
Right.
Resolve all issues. And I know personally, I would hear that, but if you made me mad, I'm talking about then. When you made me mad, oh, I ain't have a problem with staying mad. When I went to bed, while I was in bed, and when I woke up the next day, I didn't have a problem with being mad. But as I mature, not even of the things of God, but as I mature as an individual, and I see how precious life is, it makes me not want to waste time. I don't want to have to go to bed and my husband on one side of the bed and I'm on the other side of the bed. And he go to touch me and I'm flinching, like, don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Who has time for that? And why would you want to have time for that? You have to, as a couple, you have to communicate. You have to communicate. I mean, I think that's one thing, Melissa, and especially for women. Communication is paramount for us. We want you to talk to us about everything. You might think it's dumb, but we want to hear everything.
That's right.
We want to talk to you about what we're feeling and what we're seeing and, you know, what we feel is best or not best. But it's important that you communicate with each other and really hold fast to, don't go to bed angry at your spouse. Don't go to bed with any unresolved issues. If you can possibly help it, talk that stuff out. Work that stuff out. Walk that stuff. Do whatever it takes so that should anything happen, I'm just saying, should anything happen, there won't be any regrets about, our last conversation, I was mad at him, or I said some wrong things to him. Don't let that be the case. The Word tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. I don't care what they've done, what they've said. Love. Continue to love. Even when you're bothered, you got to love.
That's right. That's right. And one of my things, too, Val, and I've been going with this for years, and before I was even married, I've always kept this with me. I don't like arguing in the bedroom. I don't care. I argue in the kitchen. I argue in the bathroom. I argue downstairs in the living room. But I refuse to have arguments in my bedroom because that's where you're supposed to have peace, serenity, and your good times. And
yes.
Be mad. You can be mad at me anywhere else in the house, but not in the bedroom. You know,
I
still stay with that. You know, I don't want to argue. Anything you really want to talk about, let's take it out of the bedroom. Because, like you said, if it starts in the bedroom, it's going to end in the bedroom. And that's something I don't want neither. I don't want to be able to touch and rolling over and touching somebody who don't want to be touched or vice versa. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, and to this day, like I said, I'm 48 years old, and it's one of my main rules. I've stuck with it for years. I don't take arguments into the bedroom. And if I was with somebody who wanted to argue in the bedroom, I'm getting up and I'm leaving. If you really want to argue with me, you're going to follow
you
me
follow
where
me.
I want to go.
We're going out of here with that. Oh, wow. And that's real. That's real. But that's necessary, you know, for those who are married and are struggling and communication is an issue. Take a look at your conversations. Are you arguing in the bedroom? In the place that's supposed to be your melting pot where you really mesh into being one? Are you bringing, you know, you bringing all your troubles there? You know, if the kids are at home and you don't want to get loud, then and you got your children are old enough, get in a car and go for a ride. And talk about that stuff in the car. But don't take it to bed. I love that, Tim. I love that, Tim. But you talked about the bedroom. The bedroom is important. How important is the bedroom in marriage? Benny.
Benny? Because we're going to ask
Benny.
Me that.
Go ahead, Tim.
Benny. He said, go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, I like to put that on that question on a C scale between 1 and 10. And to me, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, that's a 10. Because of the simple fact of when you get, me personally, when I go in the bedroom, I know one thing and one thing. I want to be comfortable. I want to be at peace. I want to be at ease. So if I'm tense or my partner's tense, everything in there we can, to each other, we can untense each other, you know.
Right. 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 Benny?
That's right, a question that I haven't thought about.
You haven't thought about that question?
No, I don't think I have. Maybe.
Okay, so I'm asking, how important is the bedroom in marriage? Not just our marriage, but I mean, how important is the bedroom? How important is intimacy in marriage?
Oh yeah, well that's very important. I would say, that's very important.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Tim gave it a 10. What would you give it?
I probably would give it the same thing. I'm sure of that.
You sure of that?
I'm sure of that.
I'm sure of that, too, baby. I'm sure of that, too. I'm grateful. You know, the word tells us that when you're married, your body is not yours. You belong to your spouse. And it speaks to abstaining from intimacy only during a time of fasting.
Fasting. Mm-hmm.
Fasting. And even in fasting, you're to seek your spouse, you're to ask, you know, to relate to your spouse. Mm-hmm. This is what's taking place. I'm about to go on a fast, and during this fast, this is going to be what we do and how we do. And it's supposed to be communicated. And so when that's the case, then it really is putting weight on how important intimacy is in a marriage. I won't be that wife who always complains when I didn't get my way. I've got a headache. Don't touch me. I got a headache. Or I just got my hair done. Oh, don't touch me because I don't want to sweat my hair out. If you got a hairdo that you can't sweat out, I would suggest you don't get that hairdo. Unless your husband out of town and you somewhere by yourself, don't get that hairdo. If you can't sweat it out, don't get it. Because, come on, we know it's real. If we are married and we have a spouse and we're depriving our spouse because of some foolishness, what is it going to cause our spouse to do? Let's just be real. If we ain't handling business at home, somebody going to make it their business to try to handle it in the street. Let's just be real. Let's not give way to the enemy to try to even allow something like that to come into play. Let's handle our business. Does that not make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
I know how I was. I thank God for deliverance. I thank God for awakening in me some truth about what's required in being a wife. I was a wife prior to this everlasting love that I have now. I wanted my way. Y'all know I'll just be transparent. I wanted my way, and as soon as you didn't give me my way, I would start looking for a replacement. Give me an excuse to look for a replacement because you done made me mad. And that goes back to we enter into these relationships with a motive, with impure thoughts about what marriage really is, and so we get exactly what we're looking for. We're not seeking God. We're not trying to do it God's way, but we want what we want, and we get it.
Mm-hmm.
I came in looking for ways out too often. But I thank God now for a marriage that's going to last, a marriage that works. And, you know, people say marriage is hard.
Yeah.
Marriage is hard. Marriage is so hard. I have to disagree. We make it hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think we make marriage hard. We make marriage hard when we want marriage to conform to what we want versus marriage being what marriage needs to be. What are your thoughts, Melissa?
I think we go, by nature, we become selfish people. And marriage is definitely godly because it's just like the relationship we have with God. We're dependent upon each other. You know, we're dependent upon the Lord, and we should be the same way in marriage. So often, we go into marriage, and it's what I want. You know, if I can, and I've heard people even say this. I'm talking about married couples say this before, especially women. Oh, I have him trained the way I want him trained.
Lord,
you know, he can go to any other woman because I have him trained that way.
Jesus.
I'm like, I mean, where is it? It sounds like it's all take and no give.
Right.
Marriage can never be summed up in a word. It can never be defined in a sentence because it takes work every day. Even couples who've been married 50 years are still working every day to make marriage work. So
uh-huh.
It is not so, not talking about that it's that tedious that you have to work at it, but it's not just all take and no give. You have to give
mm-hmm.
just as much as you need.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's real. What were you getting ready to say, Tim? I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying before, into the question you into now, like she said, marriage is I'm not going to sit here and say it's like a job. It's not like a job. It shouldn't be like a job. You know, and you shouldn't really have to work at it. I mean, you have to work at it, not work for it. That's
right,
what I meant to
right.
say.
That's good. That's good. Work at it, not work for it.
And I've asked a lot of old couples, you know, that been together for years and years, and they've said, I said, how? And some I didn't even ask. They just, you know, come out and say it. So they never stop courting their wife, or, you know, that's why, you know, they have date nights and things where they can sit down and talk to each other, but they keep it like it was the first day.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You better preach, Benny. Preach it.
What's that now?
You
said
preach,
Benny. Preach.
Well, they say to keep it like it's the first day you ever met, and if you always do that, then it, you know.
Sold.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's just going to continue. So having date nights, pillow talk, or whatever you know can do to keep it the same. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I heard this, and I guess it's biblical. You ministers will be able to answer this. We'll say love never fails.
Love never fails. It's in the word. It's in the word. It's in the word.
It's in the word. And so,
it's
love,
in the word.
Love, you know, and people say true love. Well, what do you have false love? You know, so I've been
mm-hmm.
taught not to say that because
love
is love. So you can, if you say true love, well, that means you have false love somewhere. So that makes sense to me. But anyway. That's my take on that.
That's good, babe. That's good. That's good. And you know when he talks about that, we as a couple, as husband and wife, we do. I mean, we have pillow talk. How many nights a week, babe?
Every night.
We do.
Every morning.
We have pillow talk. Yeah, every night we have pillow talk. I mean, we might talk in the kitchen when we're eating or I'm cooking, and we might sit down in the living room and watch TV and talk there, but it's something about our time together when we're in bed and we're comfortable, and we have pillow talk.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about our relationship, not just how was your day, but we talk about different things about the relationship that will enhance what we have. And it's free-flowing. And like you said, Tim, when you come into your bedroom, it's a place where you're supposed to be comfortable and you're supposed to be able to be relieved of any stress or whatever. That's where you can just let your hair down and be naked and not ashamed and just let it go. And something that works for us is pillow talk, and it's great. And we do. We although it's new, we intend to have date night every week. At least one night a week, we want to go out on a date and just hold hands and laugh and look at each other and just enjoy each other's company to show each other how much we value each other, how much we value each other. One thing we've not talked about, wow, as time is moving along, is children. We're both blended families, and on tomorrow evening at 7, we're going to have another couple that's going to come and talk about how love is sometimes challenged in the blended family. But a part of making marriage work when you have children and it's blended, what are some things that you can share with other couples tonight about how to embrace the blended family in your marriage, making your marriage work? What would you all suggest?
Well, the love that you have for the person, you have to have for the kids, too, and vice versa. I mean, you can't love the person that you're married to and not love their kids if not the same or even more, you know, because that's, like you said, it's blended now, all in one big old pot, one blender, and that's the way you're going to make it work is by, you know, giving everybody the same amount of love. I mean,
yeah.
You can't, how can I say, you can't love someone and not love everything that goes with that person. Like, if I had 10
Amen.
Kids, you like 5 of my kids, you know, that's not going to work. You know, you have to give that wholehearted to everything and everybody that's included in the marriage, even the parents, those, some people who don't like those moms and pops are the other ones, you know. I mean, you got to, you know, because if not, it's not going to work, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue.
The way I look at blended families is, you know, and everybody probably won't look at it the same way, but I don't go in, I just don't believe in half this and half that, because you're half taking ownership. You know, this is my stepdaughter. You know, to me is just saying, okay, I'm acknowledging this child only by marriage. You know, what is a part of me, and it's not me saying I halfway accept it or, you know, however I want to look at it, but it's all of me. You know, I may not have given birth to him, and we're grandparents. We are grandparents.
Right.
I look at it as one big happy family. You know, we have to deal with, you know, the ups and downs, just like I deal with my, you know, birth children. I deal with their ups and downs. So I'm looking forward to all those times, too, you know, with our children. It's not so much his children, his children. These are our children.
Yeah.
That is true. You know, we've got the Brady Bunch. You know, being that we are newlyweds, you know, I can't say a whole lot, you know, but you know, we have the Brady Bunch, and then of course it just seems like we've got a bunch of grandkids popping up here. It's like three on the way within the next 3-4
yes,
months.
Yes, we do. We've got three babies on the way within the next, let's see, this is February. Yeah, we got two babies due in April and one baby due in May.
Wow.
And between us, we have 6 children. And we'll have 8 grandchildren in May. We'll have 8 grandchildren. Yeah. And I'm excited because I love babies. And, you know, we already, when we talk about our children, we don't differentiate. They're our children. And, you know, my children, my daughters, the ones that I birthed, are very particular about their mom. And I have one that's a little more particular than the rest. And last month, as she was taking care of some things in her home, Benny and I went over to aid her. And we ended up, what, babe, spending the whole evening with her?
Yes.
We did. We ended up spending the whole evening with her. And when we finished, she was like, well, let me give you some money for helping. And he was like, I can't take that. You're my daughter. I can't take that. You know, you're my daughter. I can't do that. You're my daughter. This is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, so she fed and she was like, well, okay, well, at least let me give you gas money. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll take it. Because, yeah, I could take it. Yeah, I'm going to take it. Yeah, give me the gas money. You've been driving my truck back and forth. Yes, I will take the gas money. But I think, it's that type of thing when we begin to show our children that we're not trying to differentiate one from another, that we're all in this thing together. And so for those who are listening tonight who have children that are a part of a blended, and let me say this too, and because I've lived it, that when the husband and wife come together, you may bring your individual kids into the situation and then you have kids together. Please do not, just please. And if you've been doing it, don't do it. Children can sense any slightest bit of favoritism one for another. And so I'm the mom, and mom brings her children, and dad brings his children, and now dad and mom get together and mom gives birth to his child. And now all of a sudden, the one that mom birthed that belongs to him, he treats differently than the ones mom had prior to the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. And one thing that we all know, that right now with society being what it is, our children need us. They need to be able to come to us. More than ever, they need us. And if they start seeing that we're divided and they start pitting one parent against the other, oh, well, dad said go to mom, but she's not really my mom. Oh, and when the children say that, oh, my God, well, I don't have to respect you because you're not my mama.
That's right.
I don't have to. He ain't my daddy. Y'all need to fix that. Because what they're feeding off is something that they've heard you all say to each other.
Right.
Or something that they've seen between the two of you that make them think that they have a right to make that kind of statement. If they're living in your house, you are their parents. And whether they're living in your house or not, you are their parents. And sometimes marriages have failed because they let children get involved instead of making them remain children.
That's right.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. That's Lord have mercy. We'll talk about that tomorrow with the blended families. But
it's got a T-shirt.
Yes, yes. Oh my God. Yes, yes. It's important. So we're talking about making marriage work tonight. And we've talked about the necessity of having God in your life, that your marriage has to be built on Christ, Jesus Christ. You got to have him as Lord and Savior. got to have God as the anchor, realizing that when you came together, and I'm not even going to go there. When you come together as husband and wife, in the sight of God and man, that you're realizing you're first making a covenant to God, and then you're making a covenant to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
The word tells us it's better not to vow than to vow and break it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better not to vow than to vow and break it. So when you're saying, God, yes, this is a person that I choose. This is a person that I'm going to be with. We're going to spend our lives together until death do us part. If you don't mean it, do everybody a favor and don't do it. Mm-hmm. I remember sharing with a couple the day before their wedding, don't do nobody no favor. If you don't want this, call it off. Ain't nobody feeling could be hurt. Because I didn't want them to enter into something lightly, something that they weren't ready for. And then you would have to deal with the consequences after it took place. We talked about God as a foundation. We talked about knowing your spouse, getting to know the person for who they really are, not for the show and tell that they put on to get your attention. You know, we look at some of those commercials or those cartoons where the guy goes out with the woman at night at the club or wherever he met her, and she got the big booty and the big boobs and the long hair and the pretty lashes and the smiley red, bright white teeth and all this stuff going on, and, you know, the beautiful manicured nails, and he'd take her home and take her to bed, and while she in bed, she'd take off all the other stuff. She'd take off the booty, she'd take off the boobs, she'd take off the wig, she'd take off the lashes, she'd pluck off the nails and take out her teeth. So when he'd wake up and roll over, he'd be like, who is this in my bed?
Who are you?
Who is this in my bed? And she'd be like, yeah, boo, it's me. That's got to be a scary moment.
That's a horror movie.
But come on, you gotta know who you are yoked with. You've got to know who your partner in battle is going to be. That's one thing I thank God for. My husband has my back, my front and both sides. He got me.
Right.
And I don't have to question whether he got me. This man promotes his wife, y'all. I'm telling you, I thank God. He promotes his wife. Anything, my wife. And I'm telling you, the first couple of weeks, I was like, baby, oh, my God. My wife. And I was like, oh, my God. But then God was like, can you hear what he's doing? Do you understand what he's doing? Because I had been in bad stuff so long, now that I was getting the right stuff, it felt strange.
All right.
I had been in bad stuff for so long. Now God has blessed me with the truth about what marriage really is, and it felt strange to me. It felt strange. But you've got to know who you're partnering with. You've got to know that this person has your back and your front and both of your sides. And I'm talking to the men and the women. You've got to become a team. Nothing can separate you. Because you operate as one. The word says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Well, the same thing, nothing should be able to separate you from your spouse because you all are one.
That's right. Mark 10:9.
Nothing. Melissa and Tim, share your thoughts, because we've got like 5 minutes left. Share your thoughts. Share whatever thoughts you have that we've not touched on. Anything?
I don't want to.
I'm sorry, Tim, what'd you say?
I said if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I know that's right. You better sing it. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. Ow! All right, go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, my goodness. One thing I just wanted to make sure I leave imparted and those that are listening.
one scripture that is just very important to me, and I think, too, it just sums up what marriage should be, Ephesians 4:2-3. And it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How many times, you know, we, like I said, everybody want to be in control. But you definitely got to be humble. Like I said before, marriage can't be summed up in a word or in a sentence or not even a paragraph or a page. You know, it's something that it takes us every day. And every day I'm learning something new about Tim, just like every day he's learning something new about me. But he probably wouldn't admit that because he said, oh, I know everything about you. But every day he is learning something new about me. Because Melissa isn't the same every day. So I think unity. I thank God because, and one other thing, we went to a marriage seminar a week ago. One thing I really took from that marriage workshop was the pastor had talked about how God gives us a vision for our lives. But when we become one in a unit, he gives us a vision for our marriage. And those when the marriages don't, because they had no vision. So you need to talk about what your vision is. You need to know what your direction is. You need to come together and communicate what that is so that you know that you're both walking in agreement.
Amen. And we'll have to come back and do another one just on that, with writing the blueprint and the vision for your marriage. Because somebody may not even understand what that would entail, what that would look like, and where do I even begin. So that may be something that we need to come back and talk about, you know, writing the blueprint and the vision for your marriage. Honey?
Yeah, you know, one thing that, you know, I don't think we mentioned, but this is one of the things that I think is powerful. I had two couples about 10 years ago, and then they were talking about this as I was walking with them and talking about they pray every morning with their spouse and the power of prayer. You know, that's just one of those communication things I think Melissa, you were talking about. If you're praying together, that's just a communication piece that, you know, is important. So if you do that, you know, daily, or try to do that daily, of course you're going to study the word and all these other things, but I think prayer is important as well.
Yes, it
that's
is.
Good,
keep
thanks, for bringing, thanks for adding that. Thank you. That is true. Your communication should include your prayer time, your communication with God, your conversation with him, along with your conversation with each other. Thanks, hon. We're down to 2 minutes. Wow, that hour went by really fast. Tim and Melissa, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. And babe, thank you for being with me on tonight. Thank you for those who've called in and for those who are on the line. Again, we're talking about love and the facets of love and what love requires in every type of relationship. And what we share tonight, I know, will empower those who have an ear to receive what the Spirit is speaking. Melissa, can I ask you to close us out and remind you all again, on tomorrow at 7 p.m., we will have another guest come and share with us about love in the blended family. Okay?
Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord God. First of all, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. This is truly the day that you have made, O God, and we come to give you glory, honor, and praise in it. Lord, we come right now laying every marriage on the altar, O God. O God, we know that there are some struggling in their marriage right now. O God, and even those that think everything is going along just fine, O God, we know that one day something can happen that may test the marriage. So we thank you, Lord God, that you're in the middle, that you are the threefold bond cord, Lord. We know that it takes the man and the woman, but without God we have nothing. But with you we have everything, and it can and it will work. So we ask you right now, Lord God, to bless every marriage, continue to bind us closer together. You said that you're married to the black backslider, so we know, Lord God, that you have ordained marriage. So we thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing in and through every marriage, so we will be the examples that children need to see that are positive. They see enough negative, so we thank you for the positive right now. Continue to lift us up, oh God, and we will continue to lift you up, for we know that when we lift you up, that you will draw all men unto you. Thank you for this talk tonight, this communication, and we'll be so glad to give your name all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. We have all been empowered. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless.